If you would like to make a difference in the world and connect with like-minded kindred spirits, then I would love for you to join me for the official book launch team to celebrate the launch of my latest book called Be the Love, 7 Ways to Unlock Your Heart and Manifest Happiness. Now, if you would like to be one of the first 500 people to win yourself an early bird copy of Be the Love, then join me for the official book launch team. We would love to welcome you into our highly inspired community. Go to sarahprout.com/launch team for all of the details. Welcome to the Manifest Podcast. My name is Sarah Prout. I'm a best-selling author, creative entrepreneur, and manifestation expert. Over the last decade, I've inspired millions upon millions of people all over the world on topics such as emotional empowerment, intuitive wisdom, and heart-based healing. Each week, I'm going to be delivering you a brand new dose of inspiration to help you to attract and manifest anything and everything that your heart desires. So are you ready to manifest the life of your dreams? Let's get started. Hey friends, welcome back to the Manifest Podcast. Today, I am so grateful to be sitting here behind this microphone to share with you something from my heart. Because if you have listened to this show before, you know that this is the way that I do things around here. I feel inspired and then I hit the record button. And this podcast isn't edited. There are no mistakes. So if you hear me bumble or blunder or get something wrong, I usually just pick back up and keep on going. My speaking mentor, when I went through a program called Engage From Your Stage, told me the words that if you don't show, they won't know. And so often what sabotages us from moving forward or creating content is not fear. Well, it's fearing perfection, right? We fear that we're going to mess up or we're going to make a mistake and it's going to ruin everything because it's not 100% perfect. But that stops us from doing so many things. Anyway, that is not the topic of today's show. The topic of today's show is this: you are enough. You are enough. And it's time to break the cycle of not enoughness. So this is going to be a really good one today. Settle in with a cup of tea, a glass of wine, or take me for a walk with you, fold some laundry with me, do whatever it is that means that you can be fully present, that this is our sacred time together, because what I'm going to be sharing with you today does come with a little bit of a warning. We're going to dive into the realms of self-worth, lack of worthiness in particular, and something that I call not enoughness. So let's go. Okay, so let's dive straight into this one today. This is an emotional one because it's been an incredible time of witnessing my daughter celebrate her 7th birthday. My daughter Lulu Dawn. And although I have been through the cycles of my older two children turning 7, my oldest is now turning 21 this year, and Olivia is 16. When Lulu turned 7, it was something different for me, something that I noticed had evolved. Not only does Lulu look the most like me, she's like if I had a dollar, right, for everyone that said she's a mini you, I would be mega wealthy, because so many people see her and see me and they're like, wow, you know, that apple didn't fall very far from the tree. So it's been really interesting witnessing the evolution of Lulu Dawn from birth to 7 years old, because it is said that our belief systems are formed between the ages of 0 to 7. This is something that I wish I understood at a deeper level when I was going through all of my difficulties during my first marriage and raising Thomas and Olivia. And I can see the beliefs internally have manifested a little differently. However, with that being said, Thomas and Olivia are my most favorite humans. They are incredible human beings that I have to remember chose this path as well. They chose the journey. However, when we bring it back to self-responsibility, we remember that We're in control of our reality. We can heal if we choose to. This is something that I talk a lot about in my latest book called Be the Love, 7 Ways to Unlock Your Heart and Manifest Happiness. And when my daughter, Lula Dawn, just turned 7, it's so weird for me to have written about the experiences I had when I was her age. Especially in Be the Love, I talk about how I was at elementary school and I was 7 and I was already experiencing self-doubt and self-worth issues. And this is because our paths are so radically different. It's almost fascinating for me to witness how I decided that I would break a cycle. So my hope is that one day when Lulu is an adult, she will see that her self-esteem is because I broke a cycle of something that I call not enoughness. I had to really get real and raw and honest with myself about how I can just start the path of feeling worthy. I've mentioned this before, but as a manifestation expert, I have worked with thousands upon thousands of people over the last decade. And the number one thing that I can see without a shadow of a doubt is that the thing that sabotages most people is their lack of self-worth, or what I call not enoughness. So I shared a photo over on Instagram. So by the time you're listening to this podcast, you may have already seen this photo of me when I was 7 years old. It's a photo of a photo. So my mom has this photo in a gold frame. She's had it in her house for as long as I can remember. It's one of the only photos she has displayed of me in her home, as far as I know right now, because I took this photo, I think, with my phone. And it's a photo of me when I was 7 years old as a ballerina. And I remember very clearly, I don't mention this in Be the Love, but I remember very clearly that my mom would take me to ballet class. And we lived in this small apartment that was above my dad's gallery and studio in Camberwell, which is a suburb of Melbourne in Australia. And I remember holding my mum's hand and she would hold my hand, and in her other hand, she would be smoking. My mum was always smoking. She doesn't smoke anymore. But I remember like getting ready for ballet class, and then she would always walk quickly, so I would have to jog beside her. And I remember that getting dressed was amazing in the initial stages when I would get dressed and go to ballet class. But something must have happened there where I didn't feel good enough. This is where the seeds of belief began to take form and take shape. So I remember that in the photo that I posted on Instagram, in that photo, I remember feeling fat for the first time. And when I say fat, please know that I have no judgment or perceptions around that, but to many people, it's a triggering word. And I remember feeling fat because my legs weren't as long as the other girls. So, I mean, that's a completely separate issue. So I'm 5'3". I'm not tall. I think the average size of an adult female, I think, is like 5'6" maybe, or 5'5", but I'm 5'3", and I'm totally okay with my height. But back then, because I was a little bit shorter, I thought that my legs were fat because they were shorter. I mean, that was a warped perception because there were these other girls there. And I remember the girls, they were elegant and elongated, or my perception of what that meant, right? This isn't about stating and labeling from a space of nowness. I want you to know that. This was what I perceived through the eyes of my 7-year-old experience in Australia. And so I remember that the girls were all lined up sitting on the floor, and we had to sit and then bend forward to touch the end of our toes. Now, I can do that now because I've done yoga. So it is something that you need. And I mean, I don't know how our bodies grow, how our pelvis or whatever hinges us at our hips, or our ligaments allow us to be a little bit more bendy and a little bit more flexible as we grow. But for me, at 7 years old, I couldn't touch my toes, but the other girls could. And I remember the ballet teacher, and I don't even remember her name, she was pushing me forward, and she was so brutal with her approach that she was saying things comparing me to the other girls. And this was the very first instance that I can consciously remember not enoughness. And I remember as I talk about in Be the Love, this spilling over to my experience of being in this exclusive private girls' school in Melbourne, Australia at the time. And so at 7 years old, I didn't feel comfortable in my own skin. I remember not long after this, I would hide food and refuse to eat. I would ask my mother if I could eat in my room, and I would open the window and I would empty my plate out onto the rooftop where it would never be found. It would go in a gutter. No one would smell it. It would rot. It would go away. And as far as my mom knew, I was eating my dinner. And I went through another phase where I was hiding it in her shoes because I would go into her bedroom and watch TV while I was eating my dinner. I don't know why she didn't care. I would care if my kids did that, but you know, to each their own, as the phrase goes. And what was really fascinating for me is that I was hiding it in my mother's shoes. It was like a silent protest, right? And I remember my mom used to make pork chops. Oh my God, I don't eat meat. I never really have eaten meat. But for me, I used to hide the pork chops in my mom's shoes. So I could only imagine, she had a large shoe closet. I could only imagine what it was like for her, like smelling the food, you know, days after it had been put in a shoe and go, okay. I mean, if that was one of my kids right now, I'd be going, okay, we need to go and seek some external support here right now. But for me, it was a cry for help. And this really spiraled into decades long of, maybe 30, 40 years of disordered eating. And I've had, and I, like I said at the top of this episode, this came with a trigger warning of eating disorders. I have suffered from anorexia. By the time I was 10 years old, I was anorexic. I was eating maybe a carrot. I was intentionally starving myself. When I was in my early 20s, I was bulimic after I gave birth to my son. And again, it was that comparison piece where I didn't feel good enough. Now, I don't know whether you can relate to this because, and the thing is, I'm sure there are so many women out there that can relate to this. And it's not easy to talk about, but it's something we must talk about. There was a national survey that was conducted recently on self-esteem. They surveyed a lot of young girls, and over 98% of them said that they didn't feel good enough or that they would change something about their body if they could. I mean, that to me is just shocking, but that is something that shows me that my book, Be the Love, 7 Ways to Unlock Your Heart and Manifest Happiness, is important because decades later, remember, I'm 43 years old this year. I was 7 years old, and the same destructive messaging is still out there that makes girls feel not enough. And this has to stop. We have to break the cycle. For me, at 7 years old, not to feel comfortable in my own skin, I didn't feel like I was good enough, thin enough, pretty enough, or even smart enough, because this is like a disease. My mindset was a burden where I was worrying that I would never be enough. I have had that thought go through my mind more times than I would like to admit. And it's different from something called imposter syndrome, right? I remember a few years ago now, I was asked to do a speaking gig in New York City for this incredible women's conference, business women's conference. And the guy that introduced me, the MC of the event on the stage, his name is Justin Guarini, I believe. He was the runner-up in the very first American Idol. And I remember feeling like such an imposter, thinking, oh my God, I'm sharing the stage with this guy. He's incredible. And he's introducing me. This was such a surreal out-of-body experience when Sean and I were backstage listening before I came out and the crowd cheered. And I have never ever felt like that before. That was like my fifth or sixth professional speaking gig. And I remember thinking, how did I get here? How did I go from the little ballerina that didn't feel good enough in her body to now being able to confidently show up? So at that point where I was speaking on a stage in New York or I was sharing the stage with other really well-known people, it's important to know that this work is not you're finally fixed, you're finally cured, and you can move on with your life. It is an ongoing practice. And that's why we need to become aware of our triggers. We need to become aware of the ways in which the threads of the childhood beliefs that were formed between the ages of 0 to 7 are formed, and how pernicious they can be, and how we live in a society right now that markets to us based on our fears, based on our limiting beliefs, based on our pain that we're not good enough. I have this thing, and this is, I can't believe I'm about to say this, but I don't know why I keep doing it, but I buy false eyelashes, right? And this is no judgment for anybody that has either lash extensions or false eyelashes. And I've had lash extensions before, and then I take them off and then I feel like, oh, this is great. I don't feel so stuck, if that makes sense. But I still occasionally buy them, and then I try to apply them myself, and I'm no good at them. I've looked at YouTube tutorials. The magnetic ones where you put the liner on and then you put the sticky things on. And then I think to myself, why did I get these? Why on earth do I get these? Because I put them on and I don't look like myself. For me, if the eyes are the windows to the soul, and I do my makeup in my own way, the way that I feel comfortable, that I feel represents me. And whenever I've had professional makeup done, other than my wedding day, I've always felt like I was pretending to be somebody else. This isn't, of course, a judgment about makeup. You dress and do what makes you feel like the best version of you. But for me, it activates my not enoughness, not yours, right? So I don't know why I keep buying the false eyelashes. I had to do some videos today for our upcoming book launch team for Be The Love. And I was tempted. I saw them sitting there in the drawer and I'm like, should I? Shouldn't I? And I did it. I put on the magnetic liner. I snapped on the lashes and then I felt uncomfortable. And I'm like, oh, Sarah, why do you keep doing this? You are 42 years old. Stop doing that. You are enough. And that, to me sharing this story with you, is just a reminder that sometimes we still get stuck into that little spiral of the sneaky ways that we're marketed to by ads, right? And I was at my oh my gosh, I just had a full circle moment. Huh. I take my kids to dance class here in Vero Beach. And I sit with them for the entire time. I watch them have fun. There's nothing like what I went through at this ballet school. And where was I going with this? That's right. There is no way that they would feel that sense of comparison, right? And the women, that's right. The women were saying that they believe that Facebook can read their minds. Facebook can read their minds because what is delivered to them is always what they're thinking about or what they're clicking on or what they're Googling or researching. And of course, I know as as an entrepreneur, that is called an algorithm. The internet is getting progressively smarter and it follows you with pretty much everything that you do. And then all of a sudden, if you're saying, how do I apply magnetic lashes? Guess what happens? You get bombarded with ads for magnetic lashes. But then the equal side of that is the not enoughness that sneaks in. Like, you have to have them in order to be acceptable. You have to have eyelashes to be a fully functioning human being. You have to have nails or hair extensions or whatever. And for me, especially writing Be The Love, I have to be in constant beware mode of, you don't need this, Sarah. You don't need this to be enough. You don't need this to be enough. You don't need this to be enough. You are enough. You are enough. I am enough. I am enough. And affirmation work has been so incredibly important throughout my life. Because here's the thing, I've spent most of my life on the yo-yo, on the emotional roller coaster of not feeling good enough. And it has manifested in many different ways, from, as you guys know, staying in an abusive marriage for a decade to then being abusive, being verbally abusive, you know, having physical instances of crossing that line. And I talk a lot about that in Be The Love, to becoming a workaholic. I don't think I've said that out loud. You guys know that I've worked really hard over the last decade. But what you don't know is that when I used to have full-time nannies helping us in the house, I used to do work hours from like 7 o'clock in the morning to 7 o'clock at night. And then I'd be with the kids for an hour and then I'd get back to work. But it's not sustainable. And that's not really why I chose to be a mother. I want to be fully present. I want to be a businesswoman. And I believe that you can balance the two worlds. It's not an either or situation for me. So it is about being gentle and creating spaciousness to facilitate the core desires of my intentions. I mean, the other ways that not enoughness has shown up is, as I mentioned, from my orthorexia to anorexia to bulimia. Orthorexia still follows me around a little bit, and lots of other self-sabotaging stuff that sometimes operates on the most subtle energetic levels without us even realizing. I buy dresses all the time that I get home or I, you know, receive in the mail. If I'm doing online shopping, I try them on. I'm like, can't wear that. Can't wear that. And I realize that I should just have like, how do I put this? A filter, a pause button of, do I really need this? What is this facilitating right now? Am I needing to do this to fill a void within myself? And sometimes this is where shopping addiction comes into play. So there's so much other self-sabotaging stuff, right? No, I said I don't edit this, but you probably heard the ding, the text message from my husband in the background. He's getting me a vegan poke bowl from this incredible place. It's like a 30-minute drive. It's so good. He gets in the car with the girls while I'm doing my work session or creating podcasts, and he goes and he gets that for me. But here's the thing, nourishment. Let's talk about nourishment and self-worth and how they go hand in hand, right? If you grew up in, I want to put this gently, and I also want to honor my mother, because part of the mother wound, as I have learned from people like the holistic psychologist on Instagram, she's incredible. She does so much work on the mindset of people that get stuck in self-sabotaging cycles, right? With my mother, I've done so much healing work that she is the product of her mother and her mother's mother and, you know, this grandmother lineage of not enoughness. I remember when I was 5 years old, I was five, and we were living in London. My parents decided to take us on a European adventure. We lived in Greece for a little while, and then we lived in London. And my dad's an artist, so we were very portable, right? So artists, they find their inspiration through travel. And my sister and I were very little, so they took us to Greece and to London. And so on my mum's birthday, she was turning, I think, 30. Yeah, if I was five, my mum was 30. And I remember she had a cigarette, like I said, in one hand, and she was hoisting up her cheeks saying, "Darling, darling, do you think I need a facelift?" She's like, if you've ever seen the show Ab Fab, Absolutely Fabulous, my mum is like, my mum's was a bit like that. She's mellowed a lot more as she's getting older, but my mum's the most amazing, incredible human. And I remember saying to her, "What's a facelift?" But it's those tiny threads that we say to our kids where we show them our not enoughness that gets in. It's sneaky. It is so sneaky. When you say to your children that you will, if you say it out loud, that you will not be caught dead on a beach in a bikini, guess what they internalize? Guess what they think in their minds? That they are not good enough to go on a beach in a bikini. It is a really interesting topic that we have to be so mindful and stand guard fearlessly and fiercely every step of the journey. Of course, there's room for mistakes. We're never going to get it right. We're never going to get it right. But it is worth bringing attention to, because it's that awareness of the power that we have to guide our children's belief systems. My daughter Ava, she's five, right? So I'm thinking, two years, I've got to really imprint the magic of who she is and the soul mission that she has been sent here to facilitate. This is it for her. Even with my 16-year-old daughter, I don't think that it is just 0 to 7. I think that there's, of course, some wiggle room as long as they are under your roof, right? So the basic programming systems of being enough, of believing that life is a gift, not a struggle, that the difference between having an abundance mindset versus a scarcity mindset, this is your call to action. If you are or have any influence over the minds of young children, if you are a teacher, God bless you, right? Program those children to believe beyond what they can see and to believe in themselves. When we lived in Las Vegas, my kids went to this Taekwondo studio and they have some incredible core beliefs and principles, such as self-esteem is the joy of being myself. If I ask my daughter, and I remember a couple of episodes back, I interviewed both Lulu Dawn and Ava Moon about their belief systems. And I asked them, hey, what's self-esteem? And they said, it's the joy of being myself. And it is. Find the joy of being yourself. Find the joy of being yourself because you are enough. And yes, many of us, especially if you're a woman in your 30s or 40s, you grew up in like the 90s. You grew up in the 90s. Maybe you were born in the 90s. I don't know. There's women from all different walks of life to listen to this podcast. It's still relevant to you. You can still find purpose in this podcast episode to be the love you wish to feel. And in my mind's eye, when I see little Sarah dressed in a ballerina costume and not feeling good enough, I just want to go up to her and wrap my arms around her and say to her, it's okay. You're safe. You're loved. You're enough. You're enough just as you are. Nothing has to change. Forget about other people. Don't compare yourself or your journey to somebody else's journey. You don't know what they're going through. This is your unique path that God or the universe has blessed you with. And that when we remember that, when we remember to show our inner child compassion, then so much can change. My dad was visiting recently and he's 75 years old. He's in good health right now, which is amazing. And for me, it felt like almost like an out-of-body experience seeing him walk hand in hand with Lulu when we took them to Disney World. And I saw myself in Lulu. I saw little Sarah in Lulu holding my dad's hand, walking at the same pace, not quite able to keep up because of, you know, short legs. And it's such a gift. It is such a gift to connect with your inner child and to walk that healing path. And I talk a lot about this in Be the Love with the philosophy that was revealed to me when I wrote the book, which is the feel, heal, and reveal philosophy, which is incredibly powerful. First you feel, you allow yourself to feel those feelings. If you're feeling them bubbling up, don't suppress them. Dr. Phil says that, you know, what happens when you try and hold a beach ball underwater? Guess what happens? It bounces back up. You cannot suppress your emotions. They have to be processed authentically, no matter what they are. Allow them to be and don't judge them. And then the healing path, healing. You can heal. You can heal your life. You can heal from anything you go through. I have worked with some people that have been through the most horrific situations in their lives, unimaginable pain, destruction, suffering, trials, tribulations. And they rise above it. The pain transmutes into power when you remember that you are on a healing path. And then reveal. The most wonderful, miraculous things are revealed to you by God or the universe when you're brave enough to take those first two steps of feeling and healing. To then reveal the path forward for yourself, which is magnificent. And you get to guide that journey. You get to react and respond to the triggers in your life, to the things that used to keep you small. And when I say small, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about trapped, suppressed, held back by the limiting beliefs of society and the powers that be that want to keep you small. They want you to forget that you have the power to create your own reality. And this is what's magical, that if for some reason you have found this podcast, this message today, it is your call to be the love you wish to feel. Be the love, share the love, inspire others, lead with love. This is how we raise our children. We lead with strength, compassion, and wisdom. Strength, compassion, and wisdom. And when you raise a child through the filter and through the lens of strength, compassion, and wisdom, guess what happens? They have children. And they have that strength of the filter that happens, because sometimes life changes who we are. Of course it does. This is what we're here for. We're not the same people. We transform. We are transformative beings. And when we remember this, when we remember that we are transformative beings and we're not the same, that we have the path to heal, then guess what happens? Guess what happens? We feel at peace. And there is no greater gift than the feeling of finding peace in the present moment, because then you feel this overwhelming urge to be of service to others, to help other people, to remember that we're all in this together. That humanity, this collective, beautiful vibrational energy of humanity, is here for us if we choose to tune in to the field of infinite potential. So choose to tune in to the field of infinite potential. Don't be limited by your not enoughness. Don't be limited by your past, by the pain of the past, or blaming other people for how you feel. I blamed my mom for so many years. I blamed my dad for so many years. I blamed my ex-husband for so many years. My sister, you know, the circumstances in my life, the government, society. Don't do that. Take ownership of your own power. You're in the driver's seat. And what if everything that you have been through has been preparing you for what you have asked for? This is your call to action. And if you're interested in joining me for the Be the Love book launch team, if you're passionate about this subject and you would like to join me, then please feel free to do so. Go to sarahprout.com/launch team. That's Be the Love. Hang on a second. That's sarahprout.com/launch team. And I really hope that you join me, because what we're doing is we're attracting people from all over the world to not only be the love, but to share the love. So this has been somewhat of an intense transmission today. What I would love for you to do is transmute this into some inspired action. I want you to raise other people up by complimenting them. In Be the Love, I have collective kindness exercises that encourage you to connect with other humans. This is what the lifeblood of humanity is structured upon. So the more we can give out and radiate the vibration of kindness, the more that will be radiated back into our own lives. So you can go to sarahprout.com/be the love to order your copy of Be the Love, and you can get over $111 worth of incredible bonuses. Make sure you join the launch team. And I just want you to know, I can't wait to get this book in your hands, because it has been a labor of love to get this message out to the world. And we're so close to the launch day, which is May 10th, 2022. And I can't wait for that day to arrive. I'm sending you so much light and so much love. Thank you for being here with me today. And thank you for allowing me the space and just thank you for showing up, because you guys inspire me to keep showing up for you, to share from my heart. And I just hope that this helps you in whatever you're going through in your own life. Okay, lots of love, and bye for now.